Here's another message from Life Christian Church.
Awesome. I've called today's message, you can throw it up, Bev, Life on Purpose. Life on Purpose. Can I tell you this morning, church, that you're not here by accident. Your life is not an accident. You're not just here to take up space and fill up time on some sort of timeline, but there is a purpose to your life. Can I tell you this morning that your life carries incredible value? Do you understand that this morning? Your life carries incredible value. You know, you look around, and I sort of thought about this. You know, in life we look at things and we go shopping and they have price tags on the item that we want to buy. Can I tell you that any item that you ever purchase is only ever worth the value you place in that item? If you think the item's, and it's marked at $40, if you think it's only worth 30, can I tell you that you're only willing to pay 30? Have you ever thought about that? I hope you don't shop like this, but if you go into a store and that thing you really want's $40, God bless you if you do, but I hope you don't go in and say, I really love that, I might give you 60. Can I give you a hint this morning? That's bad shopping. And tip people, go right ahead, but that's bad shopping. Your life is worth what someone was willing to pay for it. Oh my goodness. Do you realize the value of your life? I don't know about you, but I'm actually not a movie person. And I'm not so much into movies, but there's one that Pastor Mike told me it was really good. And I've never watched it because I don't do that. But there's a movie called The Castle. Has anyone ever seen that movie? Forgive me, Lord, but The Castle is a fairly funny movie. Just saying. Well, Pastor Mike told me it was anyway, but you know, there's some one-liners in The Castle that I just think are gold. And talking about value and, you know, the way we value things and what things are worth, I just want to run a little clip just to get you thinking this way just for a moment. Thanks, Beth.
Steve is an apprentice mechanic, but he spends most of his time reading the Trading Post. He just loves buying and trading.
Ergonomic chairs, four of them. What do you want? 180. He's dreaming.
Dad, 450.
For jousting sticks. Tell him he's dreaming.
How much is a jousting stick worth, Dad?
Well, couldn't be more than 250. Depend on the condition.
Dad, some guy's selling an overhead projector.
Nah. Now hang on, Steve. What's he asking?
150.
Tell him he's dreaming.
Yeah.
Dad, what's a pulpit?
Where the minister gives his sermon from. How much?
800.
Dreaming.
Love it. What's a pulpit? It's brilliant, isn't it? Sorry the audio wasn't super clear. That's my fault, not the sound tech. But, you know, I love that. I love that concept. Telling him he's dreaming. I just love it. Hey, honestly, church, your life is incredibly valuable. And you may have put a figure against the value of your life. Can I tell you, you couldn't even name a figure that comes anywhere near the price that our Father in heaven was willing to pay for your life. Amen? Romans 5 and 8 puts it this way. Paul's word says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners..." While we were still messed up, Christ died for us. There's the value that God places on your life. To send his son Jesus to pay a price for you that you could never, that I could never ever pay myself. Can I tell you, your life has far greater value and purpose than some meaningless, mundane, day-to-day existence. Who's ever felt just bogged down in the routine of life? Come on, let's be honest this morning. It's like, here we go, just another day, just another moment, just another day, just another bad day, just another day. I wish I could run away and escape. can I tell you that God has a greater purpose for your life than some mundane, boring existence? Is there anyone who's excited about that this morning? The Bible says this, that you were created for God and not the other way around. Your life was created for God and not the other way around. The fact that you were born tells us today, tells me this morning, that God has a purpose for your life. You have something. You have something that no one else, only you, can contribute. And church, we got to understand this morning that we are part of God's plan for humanity. That's incredible. There is a purpose, there is a plan, there's a reason. Let me say it again, there's a purpose for your existence. You know, God has placed you on earth to live a life of purpose. Are you getting it yet? Proverbs 16, verse 3 to 4. This is the Message rendering. I love this. It says, put God in charge of your work, then what you've planned will take place. Check this out. God made everything with a place and a purpose. With a place and a purpose. Even the wicked are included, but for judgment. Can I tell you that God does nothing by mistake? Nothing happens that God doesn't know about. For everything, He has a plan, a place, and a purpose. Your life is no mistake, church. It's not by chance that you're alive in this generation. See, we kind of go, well, I'm just here because, you know, mum and dad, and I'm here. Can I tell you, no, God put you here because He wanted you to be a part of this generation, because He has a purpose for your life. So what does a life on purpose look like? What does a life on purpose look like? Because maybe you, like me, at times go, well, my life is just mundane, run-of-the-mill, day-to-day. Doesn't really make much difference for anything. Maybe you're asking that question. What does a life on purpose really look like? Well, let me, as quick as I possibly can, unpack this morning. Our key text, if you have your Bible, if you have your app, grab your app out. Don't get distracted, but you can go to the Bible in your app. Check this out. Jeremiah, you'll know these verses. Chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. Open it up. Find it in your Bibles. It's on the screen if you don't have it. Jeremiah 1, 4 to 5 says, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Very quickly this morning, I want to pull apart these couple of verses and I want to give you 3 points on what does it look like to live life on purpose. If you're taking notes this morning, please write this down. I'm going to go quick. It'll be on the screen, but write this down. I think this is so important. Number one, life on purpose. What does it look like? A life on purpose is governed by God. Governed by God. Can I tell you this morning that there is no life on earth that did not begin governed by God? Now, hear me out on this one. You're probably going, oh, be careful. Be careful, young man. Careful what you say. Hear me out on this. No matter how you were conceived, and I say this with an incredible amount of grace this morning, no matter how you were conceived or what you feel or what you think, let me tell you today that your life in the very beginning was governed by God. There are people in this room right now who need to let that sink in. No matter how your life begun, your life was governed by God. Let me keep going. Verse 5 says this, the very start of it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. It doesn't say before your circumstances formed you in the womb. It says before God formed you in the womb, He knew you. Think about that. There is no life on earth that did not begin governed by God. Let me keep unpacking this. God is the author and creator of life, people. Your life is here today because God allowed your life to come into being. Are you with me? However, I don't know if you've ever discovered this, the fall of man and sin changed everything, didn't it? Dotted between birth and today, you, like me, have been faced with billions of decisions. Every one of these decisions has had the power to shape whether my life is governed by God or governed by self. Are you with me? Every decision I've made from the time of birth to today actually has power to shape whether my life is governed by God or governed by self. What do you mean by that? Well, let me help you out. When we look at decisions in life, really we have two options. Let me simplify this. I'm a simple person. I need simple. Let me help you. Let me give you a life hack right now. In life, you are faced with two options when it comes to decisions. Number one is obedience. And secondly is disobedience. Whatever you're faced with in life, you can choose to walk in obedience or disobedience. You can walk governed by God or you can walk governed by self. You can walk in God's purposes or you can walk in selfish desires. Is this making sense this morning? You know, God's purpose for your life is that you would walk in obedience to Him. Now, when we talk about walking in obedience to God, that simply means walk a life that is governed by God. Governed by God. Church, we got to understand that our very best life is found in a relationship with Jesus. Your best life, I don't care how creative you are, I don't care how well you think you can orchestrate your world, let me tell you today that your very best life, the very best for you, is found in Jesus. Can I hear an amen? I didn't say the easiest life. I didn't say it was going to be cruisy, but I know that I know that I know that the Word of God tells me that He has the best for us. Can I tell you, church, if you haven't, you need to start living your life governed by God. Not governed by the way you feel, because feelings let us down. Not governed by what's going on around you, but governed by God. Are you with me? God has placed you here on earth to live a life on purpose. I love this quote. Bill Hybels, incredible man of God, says this: God made you on purpose for a purpose. I love that. God made you on purpose for a purpose. Can I tell you today that the first step to discovering the purpose and living life on purpose is to live a life governed by God. Are you with me this morning? Point number one, done. My second point is this. If you want to live a life on purpose, you have to understand that you are set apart by God. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had thoughts like, if only I was like somebody else? Who's ever felt that? If only my life looked like their life. If only I had what they had. If only I could do what they do. If only, if only, if only. Have you ever wished that you, have you ever wished that you were like same as someone else? I have. Ever wished that your life was a carbon copy of someone else's? Let me give you an illustration very quickly. Does anyone have memories from long ago that they'd rather not recall? Thankfully, I don't believe there are any photos in existence of the occasion I'm about to tell you about. If there is and you find them, burn them. It was year 9, it was 1995. Who grew up as a teenager in the 90s? Quick show of hands. Fantastic. It was 1995, I was in grade 9, and some of you are going, you're so young. These guys are going, you're a fossil. I'll get to you guys. I'm not done with you yet, okay? Grade 9, 1995, and I wanted to be like some other people. In grade 9, and, you know, I was, what would I have been, 14, something like that. And I loved skateboarding. And I used to read skateboarding magazines, and they were predominantly out of the US, American magazines. And in the mid-90s, the fashion was that skateboarders would wear really baggy trousers, not like these ones, but really baggy trousers with the crutch below your knee. And that was the cool thing to do. Does anyone ever remember that? Did anyone ever go there? Cam, you're with me. Cameron Reed, I like you. You can come to my house sometime. You're good company. I remember one day, and I'd go through my closet and try and find the loosest trousers I had with the longest crutch in the trousers and wear them to school and put a belt round loosely so they'd kind of sit there and not go any further. And you know what I'm saying? And my mates did the same, and I wanted to be like them, and I wanted to be like the skater magazines. And I discovered one day that my trousers weren't quite as loose or low in the crutch as I actually hoped for. I don't know if my parents know this, but I discovered something. I only did it once. Thank you, Jesus. I borrowed a pair of my dad's best work trousers. You're kind of getting the image right now, aren't you? I borrowed my dad's work trousers. I put them on. And you know when your pants are too big and you do your belt up, they kind of, the material kind of overlaps. I don't want to dishonor my dad this morning, but there was a whole lot of overlapping going on. I was maybe 5'3" or something and about 42 kilo. I was the biggest weed of a kid you've ever seen. And I went to school in my dad's trousers. Don't do it. You think that's funny, don't you, young people? Can I tell you there's a day coming when you look back and go, flat caps? What was I thinking? You know those socks you pull halfway up your shins with your Van shoes? You'll one day look at a photo and go, what was that about? Right? I'm going to do exactly the same about these crazy pants I've got on right now. We all have moments where we just want to be someone else, don't we? We want to fit in. I love this quote. Check it out. It says this, why work so hard to fit in when you were called to be set apart? Why work your bottom off? Why work so hard to fit in when you were called to be set apart? Are you getting the point? Verse 5 goes on to read this. Before you were born, I, God, your heavenly Father, before you were born, He set you apart. Is this helpful for anyone today? Let me keep going just for a moment. To live on purpose, you must embrace your uniqueness, your individuality. Church, can I tell you this morning, in the most loving manner I can, there's a whole bunch of people in this room who need to stop trash talking themselves. Come on. Get real. We got to stop trash talking ourselves. There's an enemy good enough at destroying us. We don't need to do that ourselves. We got to stop trash talking ourselves. We got to stop looking at ourselves and going, I'm just not worth a thing. Come on, we're better than that, because you are one of a kind. You are set apart by our Father in heaven. Someone needs to hear that this morning. Are you with me? God has written a life uniquely just for you. Wow. God has written a life uniquely set apart just for you. Not for anyone else. Not for any other kid in year 9 wearing his dad's trousers. For you. Psalm 139:16 reads this. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God has set you apart. Please don't quote how theologically correct this is. I've used this before. I'm going to use it again. This is a great quote by Dr. Seuss. I reckon Dr. Seuss is better than Dr. Phil, but anyway, here it is. It says this. You can put it up. Today you are you. That is truer than true. There is no one alive who is youer than you. You've been set apart, people. There is no one on the face of this earth like you. Thank you, Jesus. There's not another one of me. My dad said amen. He probably owed me that dart after pinching his trousers. There's no one else like you. There is no other like you. You are unique. You have been set apart. Come on, church. This is good news this morning. You know, I reckon we could rewrite that Dr. Seuss quote, and excuse my small ability with words on this one, but I reckon we could take ownership of that this morning and say something perhaps like this. Today I am me. Today I am me. And that's who I should be. Because there is no one alive who is meer than me. Can I tell you this morning, the world doesn't need another me and it doesn't need another you, but it does need me and it does need you. Is anyone alive in this building this morning? Fantastic. I have one more point. I can stop or I can finish. That wasn't loaded. I'm willing to do either. Third point is this. If you want to live a life on purpose, you've got to understand that you're positioned by God. Write that down. Positioned by God. Our God is an awesome God, amen? What an incredible God we serve. What an incredible Father we have in heaven. Verse 5 goes on to say in Jeremiah chapter 1, says, I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Do you know your life has been appointed by God? God has appointed you. God has positioned you. It's not by chance. By God. You know, nothing is impossible for God. You know that, right? I didn't hear you. You know that, right? Yes. Nothing is impossible for God. No mountain too high. No valley too low. Nothing is impossible for God. Psalm 95 verse 4 says, He holds in His hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. What an incredible God, church. He holds in His hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. Our God is so much bigger than our brain this side of eternity will ever, ever, ever comprehend. Our God is an awesome, awesome God. He's a God who in 7 days... I don't know what you get done in a week, but check this out. I like to think I'm pretty productive sometimes. Check out God's 7-day schedule. In fact, let's break it down. I'll just give you 6, because on one of them he took the day off anyway. 6 days. He's a God who in 6 days perfectly positioned all of creation. Come on. What a mighty God we serve. Day one, night and day. Day two, I rate this as probably God's best day. Day two, He positions the sky, and thank you, Lord, for the ocean. I reckon God was showing off on that day. Day three, He puts in and positions all of land and all of the vegetation. My goodness, wasn't He showing off when He said, I'm going to create Tasmania. All the land, all the vegetation. Day four, how's your week doing? Day four, all the stars, sun and the moon. The Bible goes on to tell us that God knows every star in the sky. If you've never seen it, go home, YouTube Louis Giglio, and check out his stuff about the stars in the sky. Day number 5, sea creatures, including fish and birds. Day 6, he brings it home and he creates animals and mankind. What an incredible, incredible God we serve. Are you with me? We believe all of this incredible and miraculous work. Praise God. He's an incredible God. We believe all of this incredible work. We marvel at his ability, don't we, to bring order and worship our great God positioned on the throne. A God of order, a God of process, a God who positioned all of creation in just 6 days. Wow. Yes, you can. But here's where it gets messed up. Ever been in a car and someone just, I'm sure you have responsible friends, but when I was young, and young people don't do this, but I had friends that you'd be driving along and they'd just try and pull the handbrake on you. You're going, what? You had friends like that? Yeah. Some of them were family. Here's the thing. We worship our great God who in 6 days can do all of creation. But then our messed up, excuse the term, small thinking, limited understanding does things like this. We wrestle with thoughts like this. My life is meaningless. My life is mundane. I'm merely going through the motions of a day-to-day existence. There is no purpose to my life. Well, this is just where I have wound up. Who's ever said that? You may not have verbalized it, but you're in a season and then you go, God, how did I wind up here? How did I get it so wrong? Friends, this morning, really, seriously, come on. Come on, church. We're still talking about the same God, right? Creation in 6 days. Come on. It's the same God. An intentional God. A God of order. And a God who can position all of creation into being in just 6 days. So do you not think, just for a moment, do you not think, just for a moment, that he has also positioned your life? Come on. Do you not think that he's not positioned your life? Do you don't think he's able? Come on, church. Do you not think he's positioned your life for such a time as this? You don't think that God has placed you where you are right now for a reason? Do you don't think he's positioned you with a purpose? Come on, church. The same God who created creation in 6 days, the same power, the same authority, the same God, he can position you wherever he likes. And he has, and he will continue to do. Are you with me this morning? You've been so gracious. Let me wrap it up with a couple of last thoughts. Max Licardo, great author, check this out. He says, you weren't an accident. You weren't mass produced. You aren't an assembly line product. You were deliberately planned, specifically gifted, and lovingly positioned on the earth by the master craftsman. Come on, church. Your life has a purpose. God has positioned you. church, this is great news. This is great news. There are no accidents. There are no double ups. There's no sausage factory production line here this morning. You know your interests, the things that engage you, given by God. Given by God. Your skill set. You know how you're good at some things, other things not so much, but you know how there are some things you're just good at. And you take that for granted and just go, oh, it's just me. Trash talking. It's just me, I'm not important. No, come on, church. The things you're good at, your skill set, can I tell you this morning, given by God. Not an accident, given by God. Your career? My first job was at Woolworths. Given by God. Used to shape me to who I am today. Your career, given by God. Your geographic location. Whoever wishes they live somewhere else. None of you, you're all perfect. There are moments I wish I was somewhere else. Can I tell you this morning that your geographic location, predestined by God? Yeah, we have choice and we can go, well, I think God's saying go this way, go that way. God's in that, people. Your life, your life, you, every single person in this building this morning, positioned by God. You are deliberately, specifically, and lovingly positioned by God. I said it before, I'll say it again. God has placed you on earth to live a life of purpose. What does a life on purpose look like? Well, it's a life governed by God, set apart by God, and positioned by God. Church, today my hope and prayer is this. Number one, you'd forgive me for the clock. Bigger than that, my prayer today is that you would leave this building knowing like you've never known before, that the same God who created heaven and earth and all that we see in 6 days is the same God. The same God who wants to govern your life. The same God who has set you apart, and the same God that has positioned you for such a time as this. You know, the second song we sang this morning, what a beautiful song. The words go something like this. I try my best to scribble them down. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yes, you are a child of God. I'm chosen, not forsaken, because He loves me and He loves you.